Indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and had a wonderful day. Let's all just stand and we're going to go to the Lord in prayers. We open up our service tonight. I want to welcome everybody watching online, First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Let's all just join together as we prepare to pray and to seek the Lord for His provisions and His guidance in all that we do and all that we are. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you. Dear Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly tonight as we open this service. Dear Lord, ask for you just to guide us, direct us, and Lord, be a part of everything that we are. Dear Lord, may we be just in tune with your word tonight. Dear Lord, be strengthened by the message that's brought forth. But dear Lord, we just want to honor you. Lord, you deserve the praise, the most high praise that we could ever give. Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. We want to lift up each and every one that needs prayer tonight, dear Lord. You've seen those hands that are raised, dear Lord. You know those spoken and unspoken prayer requests. My Lord, we need you to touch now, dear Lord. We ask for your healing, for you to mend, to protect, dear Lord, to put families back together, dear Lord. Bring the lost, dear Lord, back to an altar of repentance, dear Lord. We just ask for you just to guide and direct us, dear Lord, again, dear Lord. And we just ask you to receive each and every song sung, every instrument played, dear Lord, just to worship and praise you. My Lord, we just love you. And Lord, we ask for your protection, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and glory. And it's in the most precious name above, the name of Jesus, that we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page, did I get the, I want to do I'll Fly Away. 333. It's 393. My eyes are still. Y'all just pray for, continue to pray for my eyes. God is blessing. I know He is. There it is. 333. I'll Fly Away.
Life is over. shall never end.
Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. I know the choir's been up here practicing and looking forward to hearing them minister to us tonight in song. And we're just going to go ahead and take up our offering. Brother Luke, would you mind asking the Lord to bless our evening offering? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
On you through the bad times, through the wind and through the storm. I've leaned on you through the good times. When I was cold, you kept me warm. Well, here I am now, once again, Lord, needing someone to see me through. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you. I lean on you
with the fire.
Lean on you
when I'm tired.
Lean on you
when the road gets long.
I lean on you
in the valley.
Lean on you.
Lean on you when my feet, they just can't go on.
See, my back's up against the wall now, and there's nothing else I can do. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you. You've been my anchor through rough waters. You've kept me safe in stormy seas. And in those moments when I was hurting, you were always there to comfort me. You've been faithful all my life. Well, to me, that's nothing new. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you. On you
with the fire.
Lean on you
when I'm tired.
Lean on you
when the road gets long.
I lean on you
in the valley.
Lean on you.
Lean on you when my feet, they just can't go on.
You see my back's up against the wall now, and there's nothing I can do. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you. Lean on you
through the fire.
Lean on you
when I'm tired.
Lean on you
when the road gets long.
I'll lean on you
through the valley.
Lean on you. Backs up against the wall now, and there's nothing else I can do. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you. So I know that you won't mind if I lean. So I know that you won't mind if I lean on you.
Somebody I'll testify.
Called on God in prayer.
to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
The Hebrew boys, they can testify how God took out that heat in the fiery fire. Come here, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lines were made pillows for my head to lay.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify.
Got a special song for us tonight, been asked to sing, and then Miss Jennifer.
The God of the day, who
still God in the night. You know the God of the day. He's still God in the night.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Usually I have a song on my heart. It's E flat. Let's sing God is My Refuge. When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, storm clouds toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go. 'Cause he's a ship for every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure. And in times like this, it's good to know. Strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Without him, I wander from the shelter. Up ahead I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. Then the winds blew so hard against me. He called out and I ran to him, and I never wonder again. God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can.
Refuge. No better refuge in this whole wide world than the arms of a loving Savior. Good to have you here tonight. Just hope you've had a wonderful and blessed day. Been looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord tonight from my son-in-law, Brother Tony. Come and bring the word to us tonight. Everybody say, Lord, bless him. Amen. Lord, use him tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. If you would, we'll start out Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. 39, verse. I have to be careful because I'll get up here and what I give Brother Chris on sticky note will be, that thought will be gone and I'll be thinking of something else. So I'll try to stick with it. 39 and 20 says, "And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison." If you wouldn't mind, how about Brother Luke? Would you mind praying? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate y'all standing for the reading of God's Word. When I was praying and seeking God about what it is that He would have me to minister tonight, you start reading and you start thinking, and a lot of times I'll take notes on my phone, just a little here, a little there. When something comes to you, sometimes they wind up being messages or stuff for the teens or kids' church, and sometimes they're just for me. But I was thinking and I was praying, and it was last night, kind of with a heavy heart, I was thinking about tonight. And I was thinking about the word that I never want to be seen up here as Brother Tony up here. I would love for it to just be seen that God just used the oracle to speak His word for tonight. That's what I want. So I pray and I seek, and I had a heavy heart because a lot of times you just feel so inadequate to preach God's words. A lot of times you feel so inadequate to be able to stand up and to talk about how good He is. Because I feel like a failure. I feel like a disappointment from time to time with God. I feel like I let Him down more than I go out and I tell about Him. I'm not trying to get a pity party or nothing like that. I'm just trying to tell you where my heart was at last night. And I started writing down some notes and thinking of Scripture and writing them down. But God was dealing with me. And it was with a heavy heart that I was thinking about this. And then it's like today, God was like, "It's not the heavy heart I want you preaching about tonight." So tonight, if we had a title, what did I give you, brother? Purpose in the prison. That's what I think I give him. Purpose in the prison. Because if you look, Joseph was thrown into the prison. It says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison." But before we get into the prison, I guess the way I was thinking last night, I was thinking about, have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt forgotten about? Have you ever felt like you were all alone and that you were by yourself? Have you ever felt that nobody really cared for you? Now, when you're out and about with people, then they care for you. But really, when you're at home by yourself, nobody truly care for you. Because even though you can be married, Brother Tommy, there's times you can feel so apart and so alone that nobody really cares for you. And you see, that's what the devil enjoys. He likes for you to feel like you've forgotten about. I got thinking about what forgotten about does. Preach it, brother. I hear him back there preaching. What forgotten about feels like. And it feels like you're in a prison. So I looked up prison, and it talks about building that's built for criminals. But if you read on, it says any place of confinement or detention. Any place of confinement or detention. So I wanted to be sure I got this out there before I asked anybody, have you been in prison before? I'm not talking about a prison of the flesh. I'm talking about spiritually and mentally. Have you ever been in a prison? Have you ever felt locked down? Have you ever felt all alone? Because what I know about a prison is it's cold. I know it's dark. I know it's lonely. And I know you don't have freedom to go about and do what you want. In a prison, you're at the mercy of the prison guards. Back then, the prisons weren't like the prisons these days. Back then, I'm sure it was cold, wet, damp. And you think about Joseph being in the prison, but I got thinking that I've been in a prison before. I've not been locked up, but I've let the devil get me in a prison. Because sometimes when you feel like you've been forgotten about, the devil starts working in your mind. And then if the devil can start working in your mind, then he'll start getting you forgotten about. He'll start getting you lonely. He'll start getting you depressed. He'll start getting you where he's telling you that nobody really care about you. And even though the pastor may call and ask how you doing, well, that's his job. He's supposed to. What about everybody else? And you see, one of the things I've learned with myself that I've had to really try to catch is I make assumptions of why people don't just come to church. Now, for the most part, some people don't come to church just because they don't want to come to church, and that's just what it is. But if somebody don't come, then I've already got an assumption in my mind of why they don't come no more. Now, have I called and seen? Do I know why? I don't know if what made me think about this was I talked to my Aunt Connie a while back. And Aunt Connie's been going through some health problems. I'm not going to get into everything, but she's been going through some health problems, so she's not been able to come. I called and I talked to her one day. And I talked to my mom a lot and asked about her. And I said, I need to call her is what I need to do. Just let her know, hey, I'm thinking about her. Because I got thinking, you know, what if she felt forgotten about? What if her and Uncle Terry felt like they just didn't even matter, that they were forgotten about? And sometimes if the devil can get you to where that's where he's got you, as you feel forgotten about, then why would I even want to come back to the church? They don't nobody love me. They don't nobody care for me. If I don't come back, then it don't really even matter. And I'm not telling you Aunt Connie has not said none of that to me, so please don't think that she has. But it made me think about it. It made me think about those people that have been sick and that are struggling and that are shut in. But then the devil can get them to where they feel like they've been forgotten about. The devil can get them to where it's in a prison of their mind. I'm not telling you that's where Aunt Connie and Uncle Terry's at. I'm not telling you that they're in a prison. But I'm telling you that that's what the devil will do to you. He will get you to where you feel forgotten about. He will get you to feel where you are sick and you are struggling. And that's all you can see is your own cares and your own trials and your own worries. And therefore, you just don't worry about nobody else. But you're in a prison locked in your own home, locked in your own mind. You see, the devil can come in sometimes and you can have people all around you and still be the loneliest person in the room. I felt the loneliest person in the room surrounded by tons of people. Because I let the devil get in my head and tell me, there don't nobody here really care about you. You see, the devil does a good job at his job. He does a good job. And if you don't believe me, you can look at, and I'm not preaching against medicine, God forbid, but look at everybody now that's on anxiety and depression medicine. Anybody that's on the medicine to help them to be able to cope with stuff, to get through stuff. Why? Because we've gotten out of church, we've gotten away from the Word of God, and we've gotten to where we rely on doctors to fix everything for us. Doctors are good, and I think doctors can prescribe medicine, and it's good. But I think a lot of the times it's easier for us to go to the doctor than it is for us to get into the Word of God. It's easier for us to get into this prison and think the only way we got out is through a doctor instead of going to Dr. Jesus, instead of coming to the church and being built up. See, that's the whole importance of coming to the church. I try to tell the kids' church and tell the teenagers, it's not that you just come and sing a song and listen to preaching and get out of here. You watch and see about how long it's going to be, and I'll be at, well, not Chick-fil-A, but wherever else it'll be because they're closed Sunday. It's about being built up and being as a family with one another. If you read in Acts, it says when they're all gathered in the upper room, that's when it come through and they were filled with the Holy Ghost because they were in one mind and one accord. You see, there can be 50, 60, there can be churches with thousands of people in them and nobody is in one mind. Nobody is in one accord and God is not moving. You can be in places where there's 10 of you, thousands of you, and God don't move. And you can be in a place where there's thousands of you or 10 of you and God will come through and move in a mighty way. We've got to get our mindset back on God because, you see, the devil's gotten good at telling us we're in a prison. The devil's gotten good about being chained down. You see, in a prison, for the most part, they're chained. They're locked in a cell. If they go out of the cell, you're chained down. You don't just roam about and do what you want and go where you want and go how you feel. You're chained down. So when the devil can get in our head and he can tell us that you're in a prison. You see, a lot of times, we don't see a way out of the prison. And I'll tell you what a lot of the times is, we don't feel like we deserve to be in this prison. But can I tell you one thing? God has not forgotten about you. God has not left you. God has not dropped you off. God has not went somewhere else and found somebody better. God still has a purpose in your life. God still has a calling in your life. God still has a need for you to do what He needs you to do. Although you may be in the prison right now, understand that that prison's not going to hold you forever. Understand that you don't deserve to be in the prison. You may feel that, but there is a purpose in the prison. There is a purpose when we go through these trials and these situations. God, why are you letting me face this? Why am I going through this? He said, I've got a reason for you. I've got a reason. Just hold strong. But you see, if the devil can get us, we're in the prison and we can feel forgotten about, then we'll let God go and we'll just go on about ourselves because we feel like we can fix it better than God can. We feel like I can get out of it better than God can get me out of it. You see, that's where our problem lies, is we keep turning away from this instead of turning to this. This is our only hope. This is our only way out. So why do we keep putting it down? Why do we keep turning our backs on it? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He didn't say, I'll only be with you on the mountain. He didn't say, I'll only walk with you on the good times. He said, through the valley, I'll be with you. On the mountain, I'll be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you because I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. If you want to see somebody that felt like they were in a prison mentally and physically, look at Joseph. Did Joseph deserve to be in the prison? Did Joseph deserve to go through what he went through in his life? Did he deserve? No. If you look at it through our eyes, he didn't deserve none of that. You see, he was his father's favorite son. Others were jealous. One thing I've learned is jealousy is a prison. Jealousy is a prison. I have watched families be ruined because of jealousy. I have watched families be destroyed, friendships be destroyed, all for jealousy. You see, his brothers were jealous, so they said, we're going to kill him. All along, Joseph's praising and worshiping God. He didn't go out there to be hateful to his brothers. He didn't go out there to be mean to them. But they said, I'm sick of him. He keeps telling us we're going to bow down, we're going to worship him, we'll show him. So he said, well, let's don't kill him. Let's throw him into a pit. You see, when he got thrown into a pit, the way I took it, it says in the word that there's no water in there. But I took it that it wasn't a little 6-foot hole that he could have climbed out of. It was a hole that they knew he wasn't going to get out of. So then they sold him. Now, did Joseph deserve to be sold? No. He didn't deserve to be sold. He was living for God. He's a Christian. Let's say his brothers didn't live for God so much. Yet everything just keeps getting handed to them and life's all good, ain't it? So when they sold Joseph to the band, then we feel like, all right, God, you should have struck all them dead. And Joseph, he should have took him back to his daddy. But it didn't happen that way. Because you see, it's easy to sit back and watch others and say, God, they don't even live for you. And here they are getting everything. They got all the money. They got cars. They got big houses. They got everything they could have. And they don't even live for you. Here I am living for you with all I got. And here I am struggling day to day. Why can't you just give me this and give me that? There's a purpose in the prison. So he was sold to Potiphar again. So it's twice now. He sold to Potiphar. And he was doing good. So he was in the prison, but there was a purpose. He said, if I get sold here, I'm still going to live for God. And I'm still going to do what he wants for me. So Potiphar's wife decided she didn't like that. So once he wouldn't lay with her, she told lies on him. Here we go with jealousy. Lies are a prison. They'll chain you down. So Potiphar gets mad, and in verse 20 it tells you, And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So not only now mentally is he probably in the prison, he's physically in a prison now. Did Joseph deserve to be there? No. Joseph deserved to be back at home with his dad. Joseph deserved to be with his family. Joseph deserved. I often wondered how his brothers felt throughout the years. If they wondered where he was. If they wondered what he would have been like. What he would have turned out like. If they ever thought about telling their dad the truth. And seeing he would have probably choked them all. To see what would have happened. The Bible doesn't tell us that. That I've read. So Joseph is in the prison. And you see, Joseph had a decision to make. Either keep living for God or turn your back on him and start living the way you want to live. You see, you got a decision every single day you wake up. Tell the teenagers, kids church too, but especially the teenagers, you got a decision every day. There's a battle that you're facing every single day. Do I want to live for God or do I want to live like this world lives? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is every single day. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to God, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your battles don't stop. Your battles don't quit coming. Your battles don't just go away automatically. But what you do have, it says that you have a power. The Bible says, I think it's Acts 1 and 8, power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon them. Well, you can have all the power in the world, but if you don't know how to use it, it don't do you no good. All right, so Joseph has been in the prison. Joseph has been in the prison. But if you read in 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of. Sometimes we feel like we will only serve God and we can only make a difference if he puts us where we think we need to be. I've struggled with the job before. Where do I need to be in the job? Because this is where I want to be, Lord. I want to be as high as you can get. And he says, but I don't need you as high as you can get. I need you right here because this is where the difference is that you can make. I've struggled with putting in for a job before and I didn't get the job. And I struggle, well, why? Why, Lord? I really didn't get good answers. So why? Why did I not get this? Why this? Why that? That ain't where he wanted me at the time. So I got to question myself. So, all right, Lord, I've been praying about it. But what about the people that made the decision for the job? Are you sure they were praying about it? Are you sure they were doing it? Because I think they made a mistake. So they couldn't have been praying about it. But he says, I got you where I need you. It may not be where you want, but it's where he needs you at. You see, if you'd have asked Joseph, he would have never said, God put me in the prison. But he would have said, put me where you can use me. So if you're sweeping floors, don't give up. Keep sweeping the floors because God has got a purpose for you. If you feel like you've been forgotten about, if you feel like you don't matter, if you feel like you're a nothing, God has got you where he needs you. God has got you where he's going to use you. So don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't stop living for him. Don't stop seeking his guidance every single day. I know it's hard to keep going. Don't you think Joseph thought the same thing? Don't you think he woke up and said, God, I'm sick of being in this prison. It's time you get me out of here because I can do so much more. But he said, the timing ain't right. I need you here for a reason. Because if you take Joseph out of the prison, then you take away him interpreting Pharaoh's dream. You know, if you read on in chapter 40, you'll see where it was the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers were thrown into the prison. And I think it's in verse 13 through 15. Excuse me. It says, yet within 3 days, this is verse 13, shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee into thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former matter when thou was his butler. See, the butler and the baker had dreams. Couldn't find nobody to interpret it. Joseph said, aren't dreams for God? Go ahead and tell them to me and I'll interpret it. So he did the butler. It says in verse 14, I want you to listen to this. If you think Joseph was happy in the prison, if you think Joseph enjoyed being in the prison, it says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they would put me in the dungeon. If you think he was comfortable in the prison, why would he tell them, when you put back up top, remember me? Don't forget about me. How many times have we wanted people to not forget about us? How many times have we put hope and trust in other people and they've forgotten about us? And we get mad and we get angry and we want to be sure that we ain't never talking to them again if that's how they want to act. I ain't never talking to them. But one thing that I've learned when I didn't get that job, I was mad for about a day. And then I said, you know what? What in me is lacking that I didn't get it, that I could make myself better? Now, as a Christian, when somebody has done that to me and I put my trust in them and they didn't show up or didn't help, did I just turn my back on them? Did I start bad-mouthing them and talking about them? Because that's easy to do. It's easy to start gossip on somebody. It's easy to spread rumors, good or bad, and destroy people. It's easy to ruin their lives. But what if, instead, if I'd done that, I just looked back and said, how many times have people put their trust in me and I forgot about them? How many times have people trusted me to have their back and to take care of them and help them, and yet I'm the one that's left them? I'm the one that left them high and dry. And when you start looking at that perspective, it kind of changes it around. Because you see, at the time at the job when I didn't get it, I couldn't be mad at everybody else. I mean, I guess you can be, but I tell guys at work, being mad or being angry is like cancer. And one thing I know about cancer, it will eat your entire body and destroy you. And if you're mad and you're angry all the time, that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to eat you and destroy your entire body. It'll destroy your work life. It'll destroy your home life. It'll destroy your church life. It'll destroy everything about you. So I've been in the prison before, and I've wanted to get out. I've also looked at how I've been the one that's forgotten people, and I've let people down. I'm sure there's people I let down that I don't even know about. I'm sure when I tell Brother Eddie and them, oh, yeah, I'll get that done, no problem. Then a couple weeks later, Brother Tommy's like, hey, did you remember? I'm like, oh, my gosh, no, I didn't remember that. Start making notes in my phone now where it'll pop up to me. That calendar's a good thing, it'll pop up notes to you. But, oh, yeah, I got to get that done. But we do, we let people down at times. It's not that we intentionally do it. So if you've been in the prison before, and you know somebody that is in the prison, because it's easy for us to just cast folks into the prison by, well, they deserve to be there. You know, I mean, that Christian, he's talking about me, so he deserves to be in that prison. I'll just chuck him on in there. So that's the way we see things at times. But really, when we sit back and we look at it and we put it in perspective, what about the times I've let people down? What about the times that I've turned my back? What about the times that I've disappointed people? How do I turn that around? So we start looking at ourselves and we start seeing that maybe we're not as high and mighty as we thought we are. Maybe we're not as good as we thought we were at one time. So if Christ didn't live his life where he had his nose up in the air and was better than everybody, how in the world can I do that? Because I know I'm nothing compared to him. So when I get thinking about this message and I got thinking about being forgotten and I got thinking about being a disappointment, and I got thinking about how sometimes I don't know how God still loves me, but yet he still does. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for me. But understand that his love didn't stop at the cross. I got three children that I love with everything I have. If you have kids, you know that there's no love like kids. You do anything for them, and it don't matter how old they are. But if my kids slip up and do wrong, I don't just sling them outside and tell them they ain't never living back here again if they get stuff right. God's called me to show compassion on my kids because they're going to mess up. You see, we're not defined in our life of how many times we fall. What defines us is how many times we get back up after we fall. Because you see, I've been out in the yard playing with Trey, and he's running. I'm like, don't be running on the concrete. Don't be running. And he'll trip and fall. Well, when he tripped and fall did, I run over and tell him, well, that's what you get. That's what you deserve. Now get up and go on. No, I pick him up, especially when he's a little kid. He's getting too big to pick up now. But I'd pick him up. When he's a little kid, pick him up. You'd make sure it's okay. You'd take him inside. Why? Because that is my job, to take care of him. So understand that it's God's job is to take care of you. We give our life to him and we live for him. And we seek him, and so many times we turn around and say, where are you at, God? And he's standing there holding us in his arms, saying, you've been hurting, you've been struggling, you've been bound in this prison, and you can't get out. So while you're sitting here bound and doubt and down, I've been carrying you through this. I've been carrying you all the way because I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. So you see, there's a purpose in the prison. Joseph stayed in the prison. And if you go to chapter 40, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. If you go to 40 and verse 9, it says the chief butler told his dream to that ain't 40 and 9. Chapter 41:9 said, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. So you see, the chief butler, this has been 2 years later. You see, Joseph asked him, whenever you go talk to Pharaoh, please don't forget me. He's going to restore you back. You're going to be good. You're going to be in his good graces. Don't forget me. 2 years later. 2 years later. How many times do we go through stuff and it can go for 2 days and you said, I'm sick of it, if I have had enough and I can't deal with it. If this is what you think of me, God, if this is what you think, then I'm done and I'm quitting. I'm tired of it. Apparently you don't love me. Apparently you ain't listening to me. Apparently you haven't heard my cry and I'm done with it. But for 2 more years, Joseph was still in prison. Why? Because God had a purpose in the prison. He had a purpose because, you see, he had an exact timing that he needed Joseph. And 2 years earlier was not that timing. Because if he would have left 2 years earlier, he wouldn't have interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He wouldn't have interpreted that dream and been put second over everybody. Only Pharaoh was higher than him. If he would have been released 2 years earlier, then he would not have fulfilled what God needed him to fulfill. So what I'm here to tell you tonight is, if you feel like you're in a prison, if you feel like, all right, God, I'm tired of it, I'm ready to get out. Apparently you've forgotten me. Apparently that you ain't listening to me no more because I can't take this no more, God. I'm here to tell you to just hold on just a little bit longer, because he's got a timing and he's got a purpose for you. I know it's hard. I know it ain't easy to stay down there. It wasn't easy for Joseph to stay 2 more years in the prison, but he did. Why? Because God had a purpose for him. There was a purpose in the prison. You see, God had to keep him right there because he had a divine intervention for him. God said, I need you to come through here. And he touched Pharaoh's life. And not only that, you've seen how it turns around. And he touched his brother's life. He saved them. And he got reunited. You see, God had a plan and took care of it. Even though his brothers weren't praying, seeking God when they threw him in the pit and when they sold him. But God still had a plan for his life. So when I tell you that I was wondering, well, Lord, them supervisors wasn't praying when they were seeking out for that job, God said, I don't care. I still got a plan for you where you're at. We think God's forgotten us sometimes. And I was reading a little bit. I want to ask you to turn over there. It's in 1 Samuel. It's when David is anointed king. David was anointed king, and from what I read, I'm no Bible scholar by no means, but I've tried reading a few different things, and it says that he was between, some of them say 8 to 15 years old when he was anointed king. I'm not talking about becoming king, but anointed king. So when David was anointed, it says God was seeking after somebody after his own heart. God seen his heart. Because Samuel didn't want to anoint David. He wanted to anoint one of the brothers because they were bigger, they were strong. But God said, I don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. So it goes to tell me that there's no age that God can't use you. But you see, once he was anointed king, then I felt like David should have walked a little bit taller, a little bit higher because he's been anointed, but David didn't. You see, David still went out and kept his father's sheep. He went playing the harp for Saul. Saul wound up being jealous and angry with him and threw a javelin at him, and he had to run from him. He had to run for his life. Jealousy again come in and tried destroying Saul's life because Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. He got mad and he got jealous. So David is facing all these things, but yet David was anointed king. It says it was between 15 to, what I read was between 15 to 22 years later that David became the king. So 15 years he was anointed king, but he didn't become a king. So he had a promise. He had a promise, but he had to hold on to receive the promise. Last one I got is Abraham. Couldn't have children. God kept telling him, I'm going to make your seed like the multitude, like the sand on the shore. I don't know if you notice it, God, but I don't got any children. And you keep telling me this, but I still don't have any children. If you want to talk about having faith and could have get in a lonely, depressed prison, Sarah and Abraham could have got in one. Why? Because he promised him. God, I know you've promised me that. I know you're here for me, Lord, but apparently you don't care. 25 years. If you've been praying and you've been seeking God and he's told you something in your life, I don't care if it's been 20 years. I don't care if it's been 2 months. Don't quit trusting him at his promise. Hold on to God. Hold on to what he's promised you. Hold on to what he's told you. Hold on to what he's telling you. Because you see, we got to listen. I was listening to a guy the other day, and whenever we do anything outside, I usually put in some type of music. I love listening to music while you're working out. And I was listening to a preacher one day, and he said, you know what the problem with the world is? We fill our ears full of music and muffle and all this stuff, and we never take time to listen to God. I thought, holy cow, because I better be taking them things out now. But he said, we never take time to listen to God. You see, it's easy for me to go tell God of what he's not doing in my life and why he should be doing this in my life. Because you see, I know there's a deliverance. I know there's healing. I know there's a blessing. I know there's anointing. I know all this stuff, but yet I feel like, God, you're not doing this. You're not doing this. You're not doing this. And he's probably sitting up there telling me, quit griping and listen. I'm trying to tell you your answer, son, if you'll just listen. So a lot of times I feel like I get too caught up and too wanting it done too fast and now, because that's the way the world tells us we have to have everything. Now you get everything right now. You don't wait on anything. But sometimes we got to be patient and we got to wait on the still, small voice of the Lord. I got thinking tonight, last night and today about being forgotten. I got thinking about the prison that it puts you in, and I got thinking about how there's purpose in that prison. I got thinking about Aunt Connie and Uncle Terry and all the others that can't make it to church, not because they don't feel like coming, because they're hurting, because they're struggling. And I got thinking of how do I help them get out of that prison? How do I help let them know that their brothers and their sisters are here for them? How do I let them know that there are people praying and seeking God? Because you see, I don't come in and tell the teenagers and the children's church, hey, I'm praying for you every day. Hey, I pray for you every day. But every day I'm praying for them. Why? Because that's part of the ministry we have. And I take responsibility for them. So my job is to be praying and seeking God for their lives. I don't have to come in every day, but they know somebody's praying for them. They know if they get in trouble or they need anything, somebody is praying for them.
And that's my job. So everybody in this church needs to know that you got people praying for you. If you've been sick, if you've been struggling, if you've been going through, I don't care if it's finances, sickness, hard time, trial, situation, whatever it may be, whatever prison it is that you feel like you're in, I'm here to tell you to don't give up, don't stop, don't quit, and don't just turn your back on God, because He's going to see you through. He's going to pull you out. You look at Joseph. He pulled Joseph through, and Joseph becomes second in command, second only to Pharaoh. Why? Because Joseph held strong. It says whatever Joseph did prospered. Why? Because he sought the Lord. I don't care if I'm the president of the company or if I'm a janitor of the company. As long as it's where God needs me, then that's where I want to be, because that's where I want to be, where I can touch people's lives. I want to be used by Him. I want to be His hands. I want to be His feet. I want to be praying for people. I want to be there where I can make a difference in their lives. But a lot of times, I get in my flesh and think of where I need to be. And He has to check me real quick and say, you need to be where I want you to be. So I'm here to tell you tonight, if you feel like you've been forgotten, or if you feel like you've had sickness or depression or anxiety or any kind of prison that has held you down, I'm here to tell you that there's a purpose in the prison. There's a purpose in the prison that you're going through. Because if nothing else, it's going to be a testimony to others so you can tell them, I've been through this and God will deliver. Abraham can tell you, it took him 25 years through my eyes, but he still held true to his promise. David, 15 or 22, he became the king, but he was still anointed and he still had a promise and God still delivered to it. Don't give up. Don't turn your back on God. Hold strong to what God has promised you. Hold strong to what God is telling you. Whatever prison it is you think you're in, hold strong, because there's purpose in the prison and there's deliverance through God. Don't turn your back and don't give up on Him. Brother Eddie?
Amen. Praise the Lord. No time to give up, are they? Amen. What is that? Once like a bird, in prison I dwelt. What is it? 120? 333. Like one mind and one accord here. I said I'll fly away. 333. What is it? 235. Hey, always trust a musician. I really wasn't going to sing. I was just, but we can't. It says, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I'm climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Sounds like Joseph could have wrote that, don't it? Sounds like Abraham and even David. Goodbye to sin, things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. Y'all stand if you would. If you've been set free, sing it like you've been set free. We're once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory, you need to be set free tonight. Come forward. Amen.
Free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. The bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My, my, my. There's such a spirit of deliverance in this place tonight.
Hallelujah.
This is your opportunity.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
What is her name?
Jackie.
Hallelujah. We know both of these prayer warriors have been through a lot. Amen. But they got a lot to thank God for. Different.
God will make this trial a blessing.
Oh, it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He set me free. How about you? Amen. Glory to God. What a gracious, mighty God. Anyone else tonight? Don't go home with a burden. Don't go home and still feel like you're kind of out of it or not appreciated or not liked. You know, that was a wonderful message tonight. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Glorious, timely message. I know we've all felt that. We've all been in that place. Man, and that's a dangerous place because Satan can really use that time to kind of come against you. So God is a God of deliverance. Amen. Be much in prayer this week. We have a lot of folks who still are in need of prayer. We need to pray one for another. Amen. And ask God to sustain them. Brother Philip Priest needs our prayers. I want to pass on to you that Sister Hux got some good news from the doctor. She's been getting some bad news, a lot of situations, but this time she said she had a good doctor's report and she wanted me to pass that on to you. She said she wished that she could get to church. She said she just don't have the strength, you know, the energy to make it right now, but she's hoping and praying that not too long down the road she'll be able to come and be in church. And if you're able, and God has blessed you with strength, what a blessing it is to be, congregate with the saints. Amen. God bless you. We love each and every one of you. Let's just pray, and this prayer will be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you've been so gracious to us tonight. God, a wonderful message, a wonderful night of praise and worship. And God, thank you for those who came forward to be delivered. Father, we ask for your divine intervention in our lives. God, help us to be more in tune to you. God, help us, Lord, to be what you would have us to be. God, not to worry or not to fret. God, just put our faith and trust in you. Go with us now. Lead us and guide us and direct us. And God, reach out to those who are in need of prayer tonight. Those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who are down and out. God, I pray, Lord, that you would protect us from all harm and danger. And we'll give you praise. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Glory. Praise.